Hi, and welcome to Faith Points, a weekly podcast from Faith Point United Methodist Church. If you'd like to join us for worship on Sunday morning, or just want some more info, visit us on the web at faithpointum.org, or you can find us on Twitter at twitter.com/faithpointum, or you can find us on Facebook. And now, a weekly message from Pastor Chris Bishop.
Today's flow is that we're gonna kind of bookend the conversation with two songs, okay? One is the epitome of everything I hate about music and bad theology, okay? And then the other one, hopefully, is a little bit more that you can go home and sing that. But I fear that the first song's just gonna stick in your head, and so for that I am sorry. Because I told some of the worship team it is like the bad Christian theology version of the Baby Shark song. All right, so I'm sorry up front. Now, with that, I'm not gonna not play that song, but we'll see how it goes. So, sometimes when we hear that first passage that Heidi read for us, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, give thanks and present your request to God. And when we hear that, sometimes we think that so as faithful people, we never have a bad day, that like bluebirds come and land on our shoulders as we are whistling down the sidewalk, right? Sometimes that is the way that it is painted. And so then other times you will get this message that says, if that is not the case, you are doing it wrong. Or if that is not the case, you don't have good enough faith. That is a lie. Okay? So that's the first truth that we're gonna speak today. But one of the things is that might seem silly to say, but there's a song that oftentimes will come up, every few years it'll come up in like our vacation Bible school rotations. And I think that was the first time, it was one of the first years that I was here at Faith Point, and I looked at Jillian and I said, so this song will never get played because I can't stand it, all right? And so I found it on YouTube. And so there's this also very accurate depiction of what a Middle Eastern Jesus would look like. But before I give any more cues or spoilers, Can we just play my absolute worst song ever about theology and stuff? Here we go. So this is what we want to teach our kids, right? Okay. Let's unpack that for just a minute. Barry, what is your question? Yeah. So I'm going to help you out, okay? It's fine that you didn't absorb it because you're just going to go home and be like, right? Like 80% of all like 80s or 90s grunge music, that's what you get the first couple of words and they'd be like, like that's the way it goes. We were in the car actually just yesterday, and Katie and I were talking about the Smashing Pumpkin song, Bullet with Butterfly Wings, and she got the world is a vampire part and then just like hummed the rest. I was like, there's more words, and she has no idea. But the words are, I'm in right, outright, upright, downright, happy all the time. And then you've got to clap to make sure that amen happens. Okay, and so you repeat that about 1,000 times in a voice that is way too high. And that's the song. And it's because when Jesus came in and he cleansed my heart from sin, I'm upright, downright, in right, outright, happy all the time. Look, see, this is... Next week, Carol Lee is going to do interpretive dance to that song, right? But I think that what happens is that we start to paint this picture of like, no. This is when Jesus comes in, this is the way our lives are for the rest of time, right? Is that then if you have a frowny face on, there is something that needs to happen because clearly you need to be in right, upright, downright, happy all the time. Got it. Okay. So, but as we continue then on with this gratitude series, as we started last week with grateful hearts and we talked about the reason how we are made for gratitude. Today we're going to be talking a little bit about how then we go through those storms of life with this idea that we can praise God even in the midst of storms. And it's a very honest question of, okay, so Pastor, do you really believe that I can give thanks even when the world is crumbling down around me? And the short answer is yes, but the little bit expanded is if we position ourselves correctly, Okay? And so in kind of part of that, you know, we realized that last week we talked about this life-changing potential of gratitude in our lives. And so then if that was so easy, everybody would be doing it, right? Like if it was just this easy thing, man, we'd be there, we'd have lower blood pressure, we'd have better relationships, we'd have better everything. Somebody was given a TED Talk on gratitude, and they said, if we could bottle gratitude, it would be the most popular drug we could sell, right? Because of all the benefits and all the release and the chemical release that happens when we encounter and practice gratitude. And so yet so many times we have this bend to see the storm clouds and not the rainbows. And time and time again, what happens is, and one of the reasons why we hear some of these scriptures, like don't be anxious about anything from Paul, but in every situation, give your petition and thanks. Now, if you have a community that you're writing letters to, why would you tell them you don't need to grumble and fight? Because they are grumbling and fighting, right? If you need to remind them, hey, be gracious or be grateful about other things, it's probably because they're not being grateful, right? And so we have this one-sided thing, and sometimes we have to remember that these letters are pastoral letters that Paul is sending to these communities of faith going, yo, you guys have to remember the bigger picture. Or like the Israelites in the wilderness when they have been released from the bondage of slavery with the Egyptians and they're complaining that they don't have food. And so God brings this manna, this stuff that literally it translates as to what is this, right? But God provides water, provides food. And then they're saying, oh, but man, we wish we had just a more varied diet. And so God, in God's grace and wonder, so eloquently says, This is one of the best parts of reading some of the Old Testament stuff. He goes, I'll give you quail. I'll give you so much quail that it's going to be coming out of your nostrils. You want to complain? I'll give you something to complain about, right? You need to practice gratitude. But we don't. We have this bend to see the storm clouds instead of the rainbows. And so as we go on, though, you know, with this reminder, I think that it's also important to say that it's not just the rainbows that we live in, but that we understand and that we name those storm clouds, that we name the hardship, and that there is a place for us to name those things that we are struggling with, right? So there are, in the book of Psalms, there are all these psalms of lament. Going, God, I feel like I am broken and crushed and I'm living in the muck and mire of life. And some are unresolved. You know, you think about the book of Job, and Job loses everything. And his friends are going, I'm sure that there is something that you've done wrong. And Job said, no, I don't think so. And they're going, well, you just buck up and come on, let's go. He said, no, this isn't right. God, what is going on? There's an entire book called Lamentations that we often, if you're trying to read straight through the Bible, you often don't make it to Lamentations. And it's not a real upper, okay? But the whole book is just people going, God, this seems wrong. Expressing our frustration is not something that God says no to, but also one of the things that we are encouraged to do is see life differently. And so, you know, the feelings that you feel are valid, and it's not to say that we are to bottle all of them up, but to also see that this is a point on a larger perspective. And so how do we move through that in a way that allows us to do the things that we are called to do? And so one of those pieces is to name that storms are going to come, right? The reality is that there's going to be some kind of storm in life. There are storms that are going to come. And so what do we do for that? And part of it is, you know, we have to give thanks, but we don't give thanks. And it's a really poignant reminder after we have prayed the community prayers, because you see a little bit, a glimpse of what we bring as a community to the table today. And so you say, give thanks in every situation. Give thanks for all of it. You go, really? Give thanks for a cancer diagnosis? Really? Is that what we're going to do? Give thanks because there's another natural disaster that's taken out or looking at just people's maps on their phone trying to get home the other day when there was so many accidents, you know, right? Because they're colors on a screen, but they represent lives that have now been displaced. And even though it takes us a couple hours to get home, man, there are some people that are dealing with aftermath. Give thanks in that. Give thanks for all the things, the broken relationships, the this and that. You know, really? Are we talking about giving thanks for those things? Are we saying, God, thank you so much for giving me this infirmity so that I can sit and talk with the nurses at my bedside at the hospital? I don't think so, right? But I think that there's a critical thing here. And if you get nothing else from this message today, it's not saying that we give thanks for everything, but it's that we are called to give thanks in every situation, right? We're not giving thanks for the situation, but we're giving thanks in the situation. And so as we do that, we realize that sometimes there are pieces that we cannot control, right? That's the power of our Celebrate Recovery group and praying that serenity prayer and naming the fact that we can't control everything because we are not God, which is a blessing every single day, right? Is that sometimes, you know, some these natural disasters happen because we don't want the earth to explode. And so things happen, right? Sometimes there are mutations in DNA that happens that creates the wonderful diversity of our lives. However, there's also a risk that sometimes cancer cells are developed in that same kind of diversity. However, you know, we look at things that have happened to us and think, man, these storms are terrible. But what we realize is that, you know, after we have suffered that loss, some of that loss is so deep because of the blessing and the gift that those people were in our lives. And so the risk oftentimes is outweighed by the reward. And so some of those pieces are crazy. But also, if we think back and think about giving thanks in every situation, remember that night, and it's on our communion liturgy, but we remember the night in which Jesus gave himself up at the Last Supper is what we call it. And so he's sitting there with his 12 disciples, with those that have been closest to him, and he knows what is to come. He knows that he is going to die. He has told them as much. But he also realizes that he's going to be alone on that cross, that he's going to be abandoned by every single person in that room. This is a real upper, right? And then also that he's going to be betrayed by one of those folks in that room to the point of death. And so what does he do as they sit in the table? Does he look at him and go, all right, now let's talk about the next 72 hours and how it's going to go wrong and where we can avoid these things? Is that what he does? He says, okay, so we're going to have a meal, but you, and you are definitely out. You guys are kind of in the gray, so let's talk a little bit more. No. He, you know, the first thing he does is says, you know, he took the bread and he gave thanks for that gift. And so even in the midst of facing death in like 24 hours, he's going, I can give thanks in this circumstance, in these situations, even though I'm going to be crying like tears of blood in just a few little bit of time. How crazy is that, right? Do you ever stop and think about that? That he's looking at those faces going, you guys are all going to be gone, and I'm still going to give thanks to God for this situation, for the way in which I can still praise even in the face of this situation. You know, I can't help but think then, as I've done, you know, celebrated lives and been with people in their last days and things like that, and people that you meet along the way that are kind of like that, that aren't scared of meeting those final days, but in the, you know, and they don't give thanks for the sickness, the infirmity, the last days, but they are people then who meet that with such joy and such gratitude. It is unbelievable. I think about a few years ago, a man by the name of John Maples, who was part of this community, and pretty quickly had a cancer diagnosis and about a week and a half later passed away. But in the meantime, the hospice nurses would come up to me and go, I don't know why this guy is so happy. I was like, have you not been listening to what he's been saying? Man, he is in love with Jesus in so many ways. Yeah, but all these things are happening. I go, yeah, but there is something better that is to come. Or think about sitting down with Don Foster and planning some of his services and him just going, well, the time's coming. Like, oh, that makes me nervous, right? But him going, but there is goodness and ways to give thanks in the midst of this. What? Like, that's where I want to be when I am at my last days, right? And so what we do then, a couple of pieces as we kind of start to wrap this up, is that there are some storms that we cannot control. And for those, man, we pray and we hope that God can work in among and through those situations. But there are also some of those storm clouds that we have chosen just to hang on to and lead around, like the cartoons that you see, right? Or, you know, that it keeps following us. And some of that's because we haven't let it go. And so the scripture that I didn't need Heidi to read, because I'm going to read right now, okay, or I want to share with you right now. It was after Jesus had been resurrected. And so it says, you know, on the evening of the first day of the week, so there's something new that is happening, and it's coming from the Gospel of John. So he's kind of saying, so there's something new that started to happen, and that newness starts now. It says the disciples were together, and all the doors were locked for fear of the Jews, and Jesus came and stood among them. So like, he doesn't even knock. He does the most terrifying thing possible. The doors are all locked. They're hunkered down going, ah, what do we do? And then ta-dao, resurrected Jesus right there in front of you, okay? Terrifying, absolutely terrifying. And his first words as he stands among them, he says, peace be with you, shalom, wholeness, and just let your hearts rest. I'm here. Remember, I told you, but you forgot because you left me, but let's come back to this place. And he goes, peace be with you. And so it took him a minute to compose themselves. And it said, after this, he showed them his hands and his side. And the disciples were overwhelmed or overjoyed that they saw the Lord. And again, Jesus says, peace be with you. So he has to do it again because something wasn't registering. Makes sense, right? And so it says, you know, as the Father sent me, so I am sending you. So I'm commissioning you to do this thing. And with that, he breathed on them and they received the Holy Spirit and said, if you forgive anyone of his sin, then they are forgiven. And if you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. Sometimes we just kind of rush over that piece pretty quickly in our scripture. But essentially what it says is that I've been sent by God. I've been sent by the one who created all things. And so now I'm sending you on this new commission in the power of the Holy Spirit and the light of everything that I'm offering you. And now, through me, you can offer forgiveness. And so maybe if you've had a rough spell or if you know that you've been carrying some stuff along, like these are some powerful words. But if we just pause for a minute and say, what am I dragging around with me? And then taking these words boldly in Jesus' name, you know, and just hear them say, in the name of Jesus, you are forgiven. Isn't that cool? Like that there's another verse that says, you know, as you forgive, you will be forgiven. That's not what Jesus is saying. It says that I'm commissioning you, that as we go and are people of gratitude, how grateful are you that when you confess, when you name those things that you are dragging around, those storm clouds that you're dragging around with you, and those things that you can control, and then we pause for a moment and say, in the name of Jesus, through that power of the name, your sins have been forgiven, and you don't have to take them with you anymore. That's awesome, right? That's that whole thing of we bring everything that we have to the cross today because we don't pretend to be something that we're not. But we also have to make the conscious decision whether we're going to pick up those storm clouds when we leave, or are we going to hear that in the name of Jesus you are forgiven and decide, I can leave that stuff there or a chunk of that stuff there, and what a gift that is. Powerful, right? We oftentimes don't read that in that John scripture. And so as we start to kind of go from this place today, you know, we see the way that God has been acting and moving in powerful ways, and that no longer do you have to carry those clouds with you. And so there's this new song that we're given, kind of like in that John passage when it says, on the evening of the first day of the week, there's something new happening. And so there's this new song that we can sing. And I came up across this song a number of years ago, but in the late 1800s or so, there's this woman by the name of Ida Blankenhorn. Man, that's a good like late 19th century name, right? Ida Blankenhorn. She wrote this song because she was caring for her nephew. And when they would go on walks, they would always say, you know, that walking down the street, and he would always say, can we cross over to the sunny side? That on our journey, we have this journey that we're going to take, and we have a choice that either we stay on the side that we are, or sometimes we can continue on that same journey, but just move over a little bit with that perspective of, man, there's sun over there. And so there's this clip that I want to share with you called, you know, it's from the Keep on the Sunny Side song of O Brother, Where Art Thou? You remember that movie a little while ago, right? And I think that this is a better song that articulates for us the reality, except, you know, that's not happy all the time, in right, out right, spin around and clap your hands, but it names the idea of where we are. So Chad, can you just play that second song for us as we close today? feel like even when you hear that little clip, that little kid that was on his dad's shoulders that was like going the big like theatrical clap, like that's kind of how I want it, right? But the idea is that the storm clouds will go away, but we have this choice to make. Are we, you know, and it's not choosing a different path, it's just changing our orientation as to where God might show up in our lives. And so this practice of gratitude prepares us for those storms. So can I really praise God in every circumstance? Not for every circumstance, but in every circumstance? I think so, but it's kind of like going to the gym with your gratitude, and that if you try to give thanks to God in the midst of the worst storm, you're never gonna hang on, and you're gonna get irritated by going, how could I ever praise God in this? But if we start gratitude now and start that practice of cultivating gratitude in our lives and name the fact that we don't have to carry around those storm clouds, then we can find that sunny side and where to walk each and every day. So let's close with a word of prayer as the worship team comes up, and we'll give you one more song to go home with about praising God in the storm. Let's pray. God of grace, we give you thanks for this day, for the wonderful way that you invite us in to partner with you in ministry, that we can name aloud those things that weigh us down, for the way that we can be our whole selves with you and bring that whole self to the cross, but knowing that in Jesus' name, we have been forgiven. And in that, among that, and through that, we don't have to pick up everything that we left at the foot. God of grace, we praise you on this day at the mountaintops and in the storms. God, hear our prayer. Amen. Let's stand and sing.